Hello, novelists and novelistas. Welcome to mile two of the Novel Marathon. It's called Novel Marathon because a marathon has 26 miles, and this podcast will have 26 episodes published over the course of a year. You can expect a new one roughly every 2 weeks. If you're joining for the very first time, you may want to go back and listen to episode one. The way the show works is that we're going to write an 80,000-word novel over the course of 1 year, or 26 sequential episodes, published every 2 weeks. You can start anytime, but you'll get the most out of it if you start at the beginning with episode one and then just follow along at your own pace. It's basically a self-paced, bi-monthly, year-long course, which you can start or join at any point during the process. We're reading three books: The One-Year Novelist by Alum Lilly, Story Genius by Lisa Cron, and This Year You Write Your Novel by Walter Mosley. I'll be your host, cheerleader, and most notably co-writer. I'm an undercover novelist with a day job and a long-held dream of writing a novel. I want to make that dream a reality this year, and I hope you do too. Last episode's homework was to read chapters 1 and 2 of The One-Year Novelist, chapters 1 through 4 of Story Genius, and pages 3 to 13 of This Year You Write Your Novel, and do the writing prompts in those chapters. You'll find details about the assignments in each episode's show notes. Today, we'll talk about the readings and check in how you've been doing with the writing prompts. The plan was to tell three people that you will finish your novel by this time next year, establish the protagonist and the protagonist's goal, and then vice versa, also establish the antagonist and the antagonist's goal. Those goals should be opposed and power the conflict that's driving your book forward. Lastly, we started working on fleshing out the main character's core beliefs, as well as the antagonist's beliefs. To the degree that those beliefs are opposed to each other, they also contribute to the conflict, which then propels the actions of the characters and sets the plot of your novel in motion. So, how did it go? Speaking for myself, the protagonist was way easier to flesh out than the antagonist. As I was trying to come up with my antagonist and her beliefs, it all felt a little contrived, and I was afraid that I was turning her into a stereotypical Disney villain. No offense to Cruella or all the evil cheerleaders out there. Hopefully I didn't fall into that trap. Of course, at the end of the day, we all really do need some characters with opposing belief systems and goals. Otherwise, your novel will have zero conflict and fizzle out. I find that I have to keep a watchful eye on the conflict and the stakes and make sure they're substantial enough to sustain a book-length story. If you've been following along, you should by now have your version of your main character, antagonist, their core beliefs, and the conflict roughly sketched out. So, what comes next? Let's talk about the next mile of our marathon. For the next 2 weeks, let's focus on the exercises in chapters 3 and 4 of Alum Lilly's book, The One-Year Novelist. As always, we're going to break down the assignments into week 1 and 2 to help you plan your time. During week 1, we're going to work on understanding motivation and heightening the conflict. The first thing that you're going to do is write a paragraph about why you want to write a novel. There are lots of possible reasons. It could be that you're realizing a lifelong dream, that's why I'm doing it. Or maybe it's something you want to brag about to your family and friends. Or maybe you want to make a living writing novels. Whatever it is, capture your own personal reasons for why you want to write a book. We'll come back to why that's important later in this episode. Next, think about your main character's values. Those values will guide your character's actions. They heighten the conflict without the need to rely on black and white good guys and bad guys. To quote from The One-Year Novelist, "In a romance or family drama, you might have a protagonist who highly values peace and getting along with others, and an antagonist who believes that arguing every point is the best way to foster an honest, authentic relationship. Or a protagonist might believe a single strong leader is needed to get the best work from a team, while the antagonist believes too much power should never be concentrated in the same hands. It's those differences that create conflict, really, no matter what type of novel you're writing. So ask yourself, what do your protagonist and antagonist value most highly? Do their respective values create conflict? If it doesn't, brainstorm some other values that would. Now is also a good time to revisit the goals you established for your main character and antagonist. If those goals are not mutually exclusive, revise one or both goals so that they are truly in conflict with each other. Otherwise, your novel may not go anywhere after the first few dozen pages. Finally, once you've established opposite goals and belief systems, think about how you can make it even harder for your protagonist to reach the goal. Write down two or three obstacles that would throw a significant wrench into your main character's path. This brings us to week two. Week two is all about accountability and the story spark. Once you've done all of this legwork in week one, fleshing out the conflict of your novel, it's time to check in with the three people you picked last time and give them a quick update about how it's going. You could write an email or a text, something like, "I figured out the main conflict and the characters and I'm right on track." It doesn't have to be very long, just a quick check-in. They don't even have to respond. Just let them know how it's going. Be honest. If you're behind, that's okay. Letting your trusted circle know what's up will motivate you to catch up. The rest of the week will be spent thinking about the story spark. The story spark, also sometimes called inciting incident, gets the ball rolling. It usually happens very early on in the novel. The classic example is a murder mystery when the dead body is found. Without a dead body, there's no conflict, no detective, no criminal, and no story. This is how Ellen Lilly explains it. Think about your protagonist's goal, the one that will take the entire novel to reach. When's the first time something significant happens that makes your protagonist start moving toward that goal, or that blocks that goal? Write it down. That's your story spark. For more details on these exercises, go ahead and get the 1-Year Novelist from the library or your favorite bookstore. The way Ellen Lilly lays out the exercises with space to take notes is really, really helpful. Now that we've gotten the homework for next time out of the way, let's shift gears and talk about Lisa Krohn's book Story Genius. As you were doing the readings, you probably noticed that some of Lisa's exercises in chapters 1 through 4 are similar to those in The 1-Year Novelist. For example, in chapter 3, Lisa talks about the first pinprick, as she calls it, and she asks you to write about the instant when you first had the idea for your novel and why you care about the story that you want to tell. Those exercises are designed to get at your motivation and help you zero in on your personal reasons for telling this particular story and why it excites you. This is important. You have to care about your story enough to carry you through a full year of completing a book, a true marathon. So don't blow off those touchy-feely exercises. It's important to capture the source of your passion, the drive that draws you to the page. It will nourish you through many months of writing. I found Story Genius extremely helpful for understanding the inner workings of a story and why a story works or doesn't. So let's take a closer look at the first 4 chapters and highlight some of the key takeaways. In chapter 1 of Story Genius, Lisa Krohn talks about why human beings evolved to love stories. On page 16, she says, "We don't turn to a story to escape reality. We turn to story to navigate reality." Stories were the original way in which people learned about social relationships and the cost of certain actions. Stories, according to Lisa, are the original virtual reality, a place to vicariously experience adventures and simulate the effects it would have on us. In short, stories are not just a bunch of events. Instead, and I quote, "A story is about how the things that happen affect someone in pursuit of a difficult goal and how that person changes internally as a result." She goes on and unpacks the statement. The someone is the protagonist, And as we'll see, everything that happens in the book will get its meaning and emotional weight based on how it affects her. Not in general, but in pursuit of a difficult goal. The difficult goal is, at its most basic, what's known as the story problem. All stories revolve around how someone solves a single, escalating problem they can't avoid. After all, if it were easy, it wouldn't be a problem, and there wouldn't be a story. It's not merely a surface problem, either, but one that causes the protagonist to struggle with a specific internal conflict at every turn, so that, at the end, she sees things quite differently than she did at the beginning. And that internal change? That, my friends, is what the story is actually about. How your protagonist's external dilemma, aka the plot, changes her worldview. She concludes. At its most basic, a story is about how someone grapples with a problem they can't avoid and how they change in the process. And you can't write about how someone changes unless you know specifically what they're changing from. In chapter 3, Lisa dives into an old favorite, the what-if writing prompt. As in, what if one day the sun didn't come up? What if Johnny dug a hole in the garden and found a treasure? Children are routinely given these what-if writing prompts. Let's look at some actual what-if writing prompts that were given to elementary school kids in New Jersey. Here we go. What if Jean was walking along the beach and she found a bottle with a message in it? What if Freddy woke up and discovered that there's a castle in his backyard? What if Martha walks into class and finds a great big sparkly box on her desk? Here's what Lisa has to say. So what if Freddy discovers a castle, or Martha finds a big box on her desk, or Jean finds a message in a bottle? Unless we know why those things would matter to Freddy, Martha, or Jean, they're just a bunch of unusual things that happen. It always comes back to this. You have to know how an external event will affect your protagonist. Or, in Lisa's words, the events by themselves mean nothing. It's about what those events mean to someone that has us compulsively turning pages. That's why the protagonist is the portal through which we enter the novel. She continues. This is why all stories are, by definition, character-driven, and why the main character must come first. It doesn't matter what genre you're writing in, literary, historical, or speculative fiction, potboiler, or somewhere in between. The protagonist is the wellspring from which the plot will eventually flow. So, before you can begin to figure out what the story is, let alone the plot, it stands to reason at first you really need to know who your protagonist is. And that, my friends, brings us to the past. Because in order to know how a novel changes your character, you first have to know who she is before the novel starts. Again, in Lisa's words. Who is the person whose transformation, whose inner change, will embody that point? It's his or her internal struggle that will trigger the decisions that drive your plot. It's not what the world throws at them, it's the meaning they read into those events that your story is actually about. So, let's picture your protagonist one more time. On page 62 of Story Genius, this is how Lisa describes the moment just before your novel starts. Chances are, at this moment, your protagonist feels that he has things under control. His life might not be exactly the way he wants it, but it's working. Life up to now has taught him what to expect, and he's pretty much figured out how to safely navigate it. What he doesn't know is that you're going to make sure his expectations aren't met, catapulting him out of the safety zone into the world beyond his trusty map. But remember, the novel isn't simply about how he navigates that uncharted world. It's about the quest he spent most of his life suiting up for. He just doesn't know it yet. I hope these quotes from the readings resonate with you and help you intensify and pinpoint the source of your conflict as you embark on the writing prompts in chapter 3 and 4 of The 1 Year Novelist. Go ahead and also read chapter 5 of Story Genius and do the exercises in that chapter. As always, you'll find the chapters and assignments listed in the episode description. I'm the Undercover Novelist, and I look forward to talking again in about 2 weeks. after you've had a chance to do the readings and the homework. The next episode will be about why your character wants the things she does and how misbeliefs are keeping her from getting it. So, happy writing, good luck, and I look forward to catching up with you in the next episode.